Beauty in the rock, water in the stone, then on the ground, no matter where I go. I don't need to worry now that I know everything I need. You got this, honey, in the rock.
Good morning. We would like to welcome you to Seek Him Podcast. I'm Pastor Rob Alcom, and it's good to be back with you this week. And what an honor it is to be with you this morning, and what a beautiful day the Lord's given us. It's a little cooler this morning, but that's all right. And we just honored to be one of his children. And it's good today. I've got a young lady in with me today, Michelle Ball, and it's good to have her with us today. And I'm just wanted to, before we get started, I want to remind you about our website, hopelesstohope.com. If you're out there today and you're struggling with any grief, you're struggling with any addiction, whether it might be suicidal thoughts, whether it might be grief, whether it might be anything you might be going through, I want you to get on our website and check it out. It is a place you can find a lot of help. And so I encourage you to get on there. You can go on our website. You can look on one of them icons. You can click on it and you can click on anything you're struggling with. And you can jump on there, and there's a lot of testimonies, a lot of help on there you can find. And also down at the bottom right-hand corner of that page, you'll find a little message button. If you're going through something and you just need somebody to help you pray and help you through it, everything's anonymous. Your name don't even show up. But if you'll click on that message button, that message comes straight to us, and we will respond back quickly and help you pray about the situation. Or if you needing help and you just need, don't know where to turn, send us a message. We'd love to help you in any way we can. But we're going to get started today. It's good to have Michelle with us today, and I want to let her introduce herself and let her share with you today about the calling and what God's placed on her life and how she received her calling. And I think it'll be a big help to somebody out there today. And that's what this podcast is all about, to do everything we can to encourage somebody else to pick up her cross and begin to follow him. So I'll turn it over to her and let her talk this morning.
Well, I just want to say thank you for having me here. And that's really exciting, because everybody I run into, that's the one thing they want is hope. No matter what they're going through or whether they're Christians or not, hope seems to be little today. So I appreciate you having me here.
Yes, ma'am.
So I'll start out just talking about what my family and I have been doing here in Monroe for the past year and a half. One of the things that we've been doing is standing against the all-age drag queen shows that are happening here in Monroe. And that's not been very popular with a group that I don't know what their motivation is to constantly want to sexualize children. But that is near and dear to my heart and my daughter's hearts too. And so we've been doing that for the past year and a half, speaking at our city council about it, also trying to encourage them to have some ordinances in place to not allow businesses to bring this into our community, to find some way to stop it, to have a biblical worldview where that about that. And I don't know how productive it's been so far, but regardless, we got to do what the Lord commands us to do and let him bring the outcome.
They got to be somebody saying no somewhere.
That's right.
I mean, our kids, it seemed like they're getting further and further and further away. And it's like somebody's scared to say no.
That's right.
We need somebody to step up. Our kids is battling a whole lot more stuff on the inside than having to deal with this.
Absolutely.
And we need somebody to say no.
Yes.
You know, it's this dang time when you take a stand, it's not a popular thing. People don't people back up, I believe, when it comes to taking a stand. They don't want to take a stand because they're afraid their name will get drugged through the mud. It's just going to get a bad reputation, but I'm going to tell you what, it's time. If there's ever a time we need to take a stand, it's now.
Yes.
Because our kids, we call it the next generation, but it's this generation.
Oh, yes.
I mean, when we look in our school systems and our kids is identifying as animals, we have a problem.
Oh, absolutely.
And it's because nobody can say no.
Yes.
And it's time that we say no. And you know, I think it goes back to our homes is not the same as they used to be.
Absolutely.
Our homes, you know, there's no more family time. There's right. no more dinner around the table. There's no more holding hands and praying yes. As a family. And you know, it's a slow fade.
Yes, I absolutely agree with everything you're saying. And also, we've raised a generation to believe that there are no absolute truths any longer. And so, therefore, a biblical worldview is out the door. Yeah. And that is where hope lies. And yep. that's where absolute truth is. So it is, it's really sad to yeah. see.
It's sad. We had a here a while back, and this is where my heart really got torn. Back a year ago, we had probably the greatest thing that ever happened here at the church. And God sat down in this place for a little while with a bunch of young people, and it kept coming week after week. And the first week that we was in it, I'll never forget, we had 225 kids that night. And I found out a lot of information about kids through an index card. And I'll tell them not to put their name on it. I said, just take that index card and let me ask you a few questions, and you just answer it, because it's a survey. You know, it's a survey amongst how can I minister to the ones in front of me. Mm-hmm. And I asked them three questions that night. The first question I asked them, I said, who's your hero? And a lot of them put their daddy. It might have been a Sunday school teacher. It might have been some of them put, you know, I said, whoever your hero is, write it down. And they wrote all different kinds of things. Well, the second question I asked them, I said, what is one thing in your life that you wish that could disappear, that it could be taken away, that you didn't have to carry, that burden that you're carrying, that problem you're carrying that nobody knows about? And what is it? Write it down. And what is the third question I asked them? I says, is God big enough to take it away? And I began to take up them cards. The first one on the first card that I mean, I just picked them up and I took them up in, you know, by rows, and on top was a young lady that, I mean, we talking about age from 12 to 18 in here that night. The first card on top was this young lady had been molested. Mm-hmm. Man, my heart immediately broke thinking they was a young lady in this youth. I mean, these wasn't just youth from here, these from youth from all different surrounding high schools around our area. And the first one says, I've been molested. Man, that broke my heart. Well, immediately I turned. There's a young lady that back years ago, her name was Caitlin Davis. She was from Georgia, I think, and she actually committed suicide Facebook Live. And that night I asked a young lady in the crowd. I says, I asked all the teenagers in the crowd that night. I said, if you're 12 years old, I want you to stand in your seat. And there was a 12-year-old girl. There was only one 12-year-old girl. And I was able to talk to her personally. And, you know, I just tell them, you know, we listen to the lies of the enemy. Mm-hmm. We listen to the lies of Satan. And what happens is we, you know, he tells these young girls they're not pretty enough. They're not mm-hmm. good enough. And mm-hmm. it's not just young girls. It's boys, too. And yes. and because if you look at statistics right now, 53% of our young people right now feel alone. Mm-hmm. Feel alone. Mm-hmm. Feel like, you know, if you look at that, they did a survey back in 2012. In 2012, 80% of our teenagers felt good about themselves. But that same survey, and now they ain't but 41% feel good about themselves.
Yeah.
So that means they're carrying something. Mm-hmm. Well, I took up a survey that night, and I can't remember exact numbers. I wish I'd have had it wrote down. But, I mean, we're talking about three out of 225 had abortion that nobody knew about.
Right.
We had, I mean, it was staggering statistics of how many was on drugs and alcohol. Wish they could get rid of it. Mm-hmm. And all this is happening.
Yes.
And the sad part about it is parents is allowing some of this to happen at their own homes.
Right.
And don't think it's going to affect them. This is right. a generational curse that's going to get passed down.
Absolutely. And it's interesting that you had mentioned that about a generational curse, because I had determined, and along with my husband at that time, that there was so much sexual immorality in our families, and that if the Lord would help us, we would work to break that with our daughters. We have three daughters, and little did I know that Satan had already planted a seed in his heart that had taken root that I had no idea of. And so 15 years ago, I was at Walmart with my daughters. They were little, and I just got this nauseating, sick feeling. And I was like, I don't know what this is about, but I was like, girls, let's just put down our stuff and let's go out in the car. And we got in the car and I said, let's pray for Daddy. I think Daddy needs our prayers right now. And we prayed and drove home. And I just had that constant racing of my heart that you get sometimes when God gives you an intuition about things, and somewhat of a dread also. And when I got home, there was a message on an answering machine. This is back in answering machine days. And it was the jail. And I was like, who would be calling me from jail? And about that time, the phone rang, and it was my husband. And he said, I want to tell you that I'm calling you from jail. And I was like, what happened? And he said, well, I was arrested for the solicitation of a minor. Now, at the time, I didn't even know what that meant. And I'm like, what do you mean? What does that mean? Tell me what that means. He said, I was meeting a 14-year-old for sex. Now, this is the man who sang with us in church, who took us to church every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. We were very close family. And praise the Lord, it was not a 14-year-old, but a police officer. And so no one was ever hurt, and I'm so thankful for that. But see, the Lord had already been working in my heart to help protect kids, to raise my girls to have a biblical worldview of those things. And so I was devastated. Like, what am I going to do now? You know, obviously he's going to go to jail. I was planning on homeschooling our girls. They were in a private Christian school at that time, and we'd already made that commitment to homeschool. I'm thinking they're going to go to public school. I'm going to need to get a job. Satan just was filling my head. It was overwhelming. And you want to talk about a time of considering suicide. That was probably it. But thankfully, my God is so faithful, and he reminded me of these precious girls that he had given to me. And if he has given them to me and he's given me this vision, he will make a way. And I remember him specifically laying on my heart, I'll do what I intended to do with these girls if you'll do your part. And so I determined from that day forward that I would just continue doing what he put me on the path to do. He put me on the path to homeschool. He would make the way, and he did. Yeah. I graduated all of them through homeschool. None of them knew the specifics about their dad, although they knew he had gotten in trouble and he was no longer in the home. But they didn't know the specifics because, first of all, I didn't want to be that mom that bashed their dad constantly in front of them. I wanted to teach them what a biblical father and husband should look like. But also, I just wanted to protect their minds of sexual things, you know, and not violate that in any way. And still to this day, I recognize that it's a God thing, that none of them understood any of it until after they all graduated from high school. That's amazing that the Lord protected them through that. And so, but they've gone through a lot of hard times too. Lonely times. I mean, we lost a lot of friends through that, you can imagine. But I can say it's also strengthened them also. Now, my two youngest, they didn't know what happened until we moved here a year and a half ago, and they were willing to run. And honestly, so was I, to be somewhat honest. We were ready to be done with that part, even though they had just found out about it. And so we got here to Monroe, and we started, my daughter saw that there was a group standing against the all-age drag shows. And she's like, Mom, we got to go stand with them. And I'm like, we've lived in a bubble for the past, you know, 15 years. And I'm like, we are not going to stand there. It looks scary. It was in the dark. I didn't even know anything much about drag queens, you know? And I was like, So then the second month, she's like, Mom, look at this. And I recognized someone that we went to church with that was out there standing. And this is why I want to encourage believers, iron sharpeneth iron. Yeah. I saw that person standing, and that gave me the courage to go. And not only to go, but to rally more people and start speaking at city council. And now it's just a huge cause that people are starting to get on board. So
you can take it back to your, you sort of find your calling in your trouble.
Yes. And so protecting the innocence of children became huge for me, not only because we were trying to break generational curses of sexual immorality, but because we see all around us that no one has a biblical worldview of these. Well, not no one, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
The majority do not have a biblical worldview of sexual things and absolute truths in that area. And so that's something I would love to offer your listeners, that there is a way that God intends for these things to be that is beautiful.
Yeah.
He made it to be beautiful, not to be practiced any other way than what he says.
Yeah. And for people don't understand that, I've had some parents say something to me before about sometimes I open up too much here in the church because people don't grasp how God made the body.
Mm.
God created a body perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'll keep it very basic and don't go into details, but, you know, parents don't sit down with their kids no more and, you know, have these talks.
Right.
And, you know, I sat down with both my daughters and well, all my kids and had these talks and told them the importance of, you know, I mean, you can take this and run it as far as the divorce rate this day and time.
Sure.
You know, because what we must realize, and I'll just leave it like this, from Genesis 3 to the fall of man in the garden.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get to Abraham, and Abraham had to sacrifice, was going to sacrifice his son. Right there pretty much started a blood covenant. And that blood covenant runs all the way through the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And God created a human body with a blood covenant inside itself.
Mm.
And that's why an individual, you know, that, you know, that's the importance of staying pure to marriage because it's a covenant. And people don't grasp that now. And, you know, look at our TV. I mean, our TV, everything around promotes some type of pornography.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, some types. I mean, you know, used to, you'd never see this, and it's just getting worse and worse. But what we must realize, you know, we hate the sin. We love the sinner. But the Bible talks about in the days when Lot and Noah meet, and we're there.
Hmm.
So, you know, if there's ever a time that we need to be sharing the word, just like you said, there's a lot of people don't know the truth.
Right.
And they don't know it. And, you know, they've it would probably shock us that many people inside the church that don't, that, you know, they've heard it. They've heard somebody say they go, you know, but they really ain't read it for themselves.
Yes.
And if there's ever time that we need to get in that word is now and find out the truth, because it does not lie. And, you know, I tell people all the time, here's for these non-believers that will take what we say as far as serving God and praying and reading our Bible and going to church. And this is for the non-believers out there that might be listening and try to criticize everything we do and our stand we do. Here's the thing. You know, all the ones that say they don't believe in God or whatever. Okay. I told a woman one time in church, and we had this conversation, and I told her, I says, if I'm wrong about this, I said, I've lived a pretty good life and I try to do my best. I said, but if I'm right and you're wrong, you've lost everything.
Absolutely.
I've lost nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I said, but you've lost everything.
Right.
I said, just think about that. You know, a lot of people look at us and think that we all wrong. We all wrong. This is just, mm-hmm. you know, but you know what? If I'm wrong, which I know I ain't, because I'm standing on the Word of God, and
that's
I've got the Holy Ghost living inside of me, and I know, and He leads me in. But I use that to somebody that's never experienced it. I watched a professor one time. This is pretty funny, and it made a good example. I watched a professor standing in front of a college one time, and he's giving a speech, and the people, the atheist is in the crowd trying to detour what he's saying, mm-hmm. and he pulls an apple out of his pocket and starts eating that apple, takes a bite of that apple. And he's eating that apple, and he don't say nothing. And a minute goes by, he chews that bite of apple, and a minute goes by, and he looks at that professor, that atheist professor, and says, "Is this apple good?" And he says, "I don't know. I'm not eating it." He said, "Well, you can't say nothing about my God because you've never experienced him." And something so little as yes. just an apple. And Well, tell us a little bit about what your calling is and what you feel like that God's called you to do.
Yes. So, and just to piggyback on that a little bit, I will say that my ex-husband was so caught up into pornography and immorality, and it had been going on through our whole marriage. And I will say that those are the chains that only Jesus himself can break. And I see that in a lot of people at church who they're afraid to bring it out. They're afraid to talk about it. Preachers aren't talking about it because it is one of those no-nos, and I get it. But yet there are people that are addicted to it. And I just want to encourage them that there's hope. There's hope in broken marriages.
Well, there's no stopping point to it. I mean, you look at it and it seems like it's just a craving that keeps getting badder, worser and worser and worser.
It is.
And it goes to you, it's fulfilling them lust that never is fulfilled.
That's right.
And you're trying That's to right. feel that.
That's
and,
right. Yes. And so I just want to say that those that are listening that, and it's not just men caught up in pornography anymore, it's women also. And it is so addictive. Immorality is so addictive. Satan makes sure that these things are. But the Bible says, lust bringeth forth sin, and sin bringeth forth death. Yep. And that is a truth that you can take to the bank. And we've seen it. And so it was the death of our family, and that's heartbreaking. It's been heartbreaking for my girls. There have been so many times that, you know, they feel rejected because they miss that love of a father. But I'm thankful that I've always been able to point to the perfect father. I've been able to lean on him as the head of our home. I consider our lives a miracle. And so when people are out there and the devastation that has hit their family, maybe for the same kind of reasons as mine or others, that the Father can be trusted. He has all the answers. And then so to answer your question again, our calling first is always to lead people to Jesus, and we tell people about Jesus every opportunity we get. And that, of course, we're just trying to stand for the innocence of children. And you wouldn't think that that would be such a divisive topic. You would think people even that are not saved would want to protect children, but that's not the case at all. And there is a huge agenda of people that are wanting to steal the innocence of our children, whether it's through an all-age drag show, whether it's through molesting children, whether it is through trafficking. You know, there's so much prevalent in our day that it's just hard to wrap your mind around. So and in school libraries, and I could go on and on and on, the attack on our children that we've really never seen it to this amount before. And I will say, we were trying to run from what we were dealt in life, but the people that we stand against were sure able to find out all the information about my ex-husband, and they brought it out. And to them, I want to say thank you.
Well, that's the passion that, I mean, that's why you're so passionate about what you do, because it hit your home.
Oh, it does.
And people don't grasp that. They want to bring out all the bad. And here I find this. You know, I wouldn't worry about what people try to bring up on you, because what happens sometimes we'll get so caught up in trying to defend ourselves.
Yeah.
We don't even we see this in politicians.
Oh yes.
When they'll have a debate.
Yes.
And here one person will bring up something bad. Well, they'll spend their whole debate trying to defend themselves.
Yeah. You know, yes.
I defend myself with the blood of Christ.
Amen.
And I'll just, you know, I'll point back to Calvary. And if you want to dig up, if you want to dig under Calvary, that's up to you.
Yes.
That's you'll stand and give account for that.
But you know what God did for us through that? Through our enemies bringing it out and digging all that up, it set us free. Yeah. We're no longer hiding behind it or under it or afraid that someone's going to find out. It's not our shame or guilt to carry. And I think that's the biggest thing the Lord has brought us through personally with that. And so when people, you know, we had a protest this past week, the Dowd Theater downtown was having a drag show where they were allowing children to come in. And so we had a peaceful protest and it was so good, but that's another story. But even our enemies were there trying to taunt us with what God has brought us through. And we just let them talk and we spent our time praising the Lord.
Yeah. And that's the thing, you know, people must grasp this. I mean, sin.
Yes.
Sin is sin across the board. And, you know, people choose, if they choose to go that route, you know, if, you know, homosexuality is a sin according to our Bible and according to what we stand on.
Mm-hmm.
Drunkenness is a sin.
Yes.
You know, but the same boat, you know, if they choose to go that route, that's a choice that you make. If you choose not to accept the Lord and you choose to go that route, that's a choice you make. But in the same boat, you know, here's where I have an issue with our city, our state, our country, when it's allowing this. You know, if you choose to live that lifestyle, so be it. But you can't, but a kid can't go in a bar.
Right.
A kid can't go sit at a bar and drink it at 13 years old or 12 years old. A kid can't go in a topless bar.
Right.
A kid can't go, you know, so they are, we do have to draw a line and say, we're going to have to say no. There's got to be an age limit put on this because, you know, if not, if you just keep allowing it and keep allowing it and keep allowing it, you ain't going, it's going to get to a point you ain't going to have a state. You ain't going to, what's the purpose even having any kind of restriction, period, on nothing?
Yes.
I mean, because you just, you ain't saying no to nothing.
Right. And that's where our government officials are. Everybody wants to say, well, the state needs to put this out so North Carolina can, the cities can make ordinance based on what the state does. We can't wait on the state. As far as I know from the ones that I've spoken to at the state level have said it's not even on their radar. They've already put something out there that was very weak and gives our local politicians, I guess, so to say, little to work with. So we need someone in our city willing to stand up and say, no, you're not doing this in our city. While we're here, this is wrong.
Yeah. Well, too, I reckon not as vocal, but we got one coming down the pike named Mark Robinson.
Yes.
And, you know, I pray that God puts him in office.
Yes.
Because I believe he's got some good standards and good morals. And here it goes back to our integrity.
Yes.
Nobody wants to stand up and say no. But you know what?
Yes.
If you choose, our integrity is the only thing in our life that we have complete control over.
Yes.
And, you know, I want to be known when I'm left here that, you know, I had great morals and I had standards. People don't have that no more. They don't, you know, what's sad about it is, you know, it's even people in the church house.
Yes.
That claim that, you know, they'll stand with you.
Mm-hmm.
Or they'll fight for you.
Yeah.
But then they're scared to publicly do it.
Yes.
You know, that's pretty cowardly.
Yes.
You know, it's time that we take a stand. I mean, if we can shout it on Sunday morning and say we'll do it on Sunday morning, we need to do it Monday morning.
That's right.
We need to do it Friday morning. So that's, you know, that's.
And the Bible does talk about warfare, and we have become, I don't know if it's lukewarm Christians. I don't know if it's weak, but we hardly even grasp warfare and that we are called to go into war, to put on the armor of God and go to war. And that is lost among the congregation. And I do believe that a lot of it comes from sexual immorality, unfortunately. And so when people say they're going to come stand with us, first of all, I get really excited about that. But I tell people, if you are involved in sexual immorality, don't come out, because we're looking to see God get in this thing and help us with it. And I've been really upset that the council and different people haven't stood up to do things. But the Lord has really given me the revelation, I guess, that it's because he wants the church to stand up. He's not looking for government officials to be our savior. And I'm not saying that to say, don't go vote. I do think you need to vote. I think it's wrong if you don't vote. And I think we need to vote biblical values. But also, God put his church here to be a salt and a light and to defend innocence. Yeah. And I think that our churches are a place that they want to vaguely maybe talk about these things from the pulpit, but not get outside the four walls. And God calls us to fight the warfare and especially to defend the innocent.
Yeah. Well, if the church did her job, there wouldn't be no government.
Yeah.
You think about that. You think about if the church did what they were supposed to do. I think it's time that we do stand up. We have to stand up. And you know, we can run this tremendous. I mean, we can take this this conversation a long way. I think it originally goes back to music. Hmm. I think everything goes back to music. You have your eye gate, your ear gate, what you see, what you bring in. You think about this. When Satan was powerful enough to convince 1/3 of angels to mm-hmm. go, to fall with him, many people, that's powerful. He convinced 1/3 to leave heaven with him. Mm-hmm. He's over the music in heaven.
Yes.
He's got the music built down in him. We can read the book of Ezekiel, and it describes who Satan was and mm-hmm. what he was built for. And when he got kicked out of heaven, the Bible says he's the prince of the airways.
Mm-hmm.
And then where is the most spot that he's going to attack? It's our music.
Yes.
And we've got people, our music, what you put in your head, you can go back. And I wish I had the statistics wrote down, but it would blow your mind into people that committed suicide mm-hmm. and they go back and find out what was the last thing they was listening to.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one thing they do. They go back and look, what was the last thing they listened to?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of it goes back to here. Many times it trickles back to, say, heavy metal. This stuff has been put in their head. And here, I say this a lot, and I don't want to throw nobody under the bus. But Carrie Underwood recorded a song, Jesus Take a Wheel. And everybody run and got that CD and gave their little girls because it was it had Jesus in it.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't listen to the other 12 or 13 songs on the song.
Absolutely.
And what goes in is going to come out.
Oh, yes.
And so I believe that, it's the stuff we're getting put in our heads today and listening to, and parents don't say no. They don't have, there's no to it. And it's just, you do whatever you want to. Just out of my hair. I'm busy. I've worked all day. I'm too busy. And, we bring this stuff on ourselves.
Yeah. And I do have people ask me all the time, and I don't have perfect daughters by any means, but people do ask me all the time, how did you raise three daughters that truly love the Lord? They're involved in a community. They love Jesus. They want to talk to people about Jesus. I would say, the biggest thing is that I did not let them watch TV. And I know that's really radical, and music. They did not listen to any music that did not have to do with the Lord. And we even investigated who was putting out the music. It's huge.
Yeah.
TV and music are probably the number one things that are driving our children nowadays. And that is lost time that we can teach our children about the Lord. And we did. We had deep devotions from, when they were in diapers. And I know that seems radical, but I'm so thankful today. Even their teen years were not hard for us. I have so much to praise the Lord for.
We're going to stand and give. I mean, God gave us the responsibility to raise them kids.
Yes.
And we're going to stand one day and give account for how we raised his kids.
Yes.
And so, if individuals got good kids, you look at them most of the time, they just didn't appear good kids. We were born into sin. It's in our nature. It's in our nature.
Yes.
I don't want feel if somebody out there to feel like that, well, look at my kids and they out there this morning feeling like that we sitting here bragging on our kids and right. their kids might be struggling. Well, here you go. God had two kids.
Yes.
And they both messed up.
That's right.
And yes. When he put them in a Garden of Eden, and they both messed up.
Yes.
But he's a forgiven father.
Absolutely.
And so it's not how we start.
Right.
It's how we finish.
And I was 28 years old when I got saved. I lived in a lot of sin before that. And music was at the root of almost all of it. And when I tell people that, they think I'm crazy. So it's very interesting to talk to someone that understands it. But it really was. And before that, and that was when I became a mom, was when I was 28. I'm very blessed that God got a hold of my heart in a quick way and did a crash course on it. Because I did know what was right up to that point, but I didn't want anything to do with it. But then when I had my first daughter, I was like, okay, so now I'm responsible for her also. And the thought of her going to hell or even living a hundredth of the life that I had lived, I did not want that for her. And so the Lord really used that to change my heart and change my thinking. And changing the thinking is the biggest thing.
I think the biggest thing I ever done. I remember when I got saved in 96, and you know, God began to take things out.
Yeah.
And I come up living in the country, so I was a country boy. I'm going to listen to country music, and it goes back to all them old country singers, Hank Williams Jr., George Jones, Johnny Cash, and all them. And that's all I listened to. And I'll never forget when I got saved and God began to convict me about what I was listening to. And here's our issue. Anything that God convicts you over, you got to destroy it.
Yes.
You can't just put it on the back shelf. Because if you put it back on, it's in hand's reach.
Yes.
And you got to destroy it. You got to get rid of it. And I'll never forget. That's one of the hardest things I've ever done.
Yes.
To destroy everything that I had. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, but God had, he opened my eyes and told me, you know, if I sat there and listened to that, if I sat around and listened to a song about drinking all the time, you know, which I wasn't a bad alcoholic. I was in drugs. I was drug addict pretty bad. But God, you know, if I sat there and listened to it long enough, you listen to it. I think that's what Psalms chapter 1 tells us. Pretty much it sums it up. If it ends up in your mind, it's probably going to end up in your hands. It's going to end up in you. Well, it talks about you start walking with them,
yes.
And you start standing with them, and you start sitting with them.
Yes.
It's pretty much what Psalms 1 tells us. And so we just have to be careful. And I think it's – I want to destroy all that. I want to get rid of it. And
yes.
You know, I think there's some families that, you know, there might be a parent out there today that might need to destroy some stuff.
Yes.
It's hard. It's sometimes it breaks our heart as a parent to say no. I had this talk with my daughter, my youngest daughter here recently. And but I set her down, you know. I remember this from my kids at a young age, for us when they was young, and I was a young Christian, and I would discipline my kids, and I'd get done, and the Lord convict me, and He would say, "I don't discipline you like that." And you know, I set my daughter down the other day, and I just. What I want to talk to her about, I defined every word to her and defined why I was doing what I was doing and having to discipline her.
Mm-hmm.
And it breaks your heart to see them broke. It see, you know, in discipline in a way that it's going to mean something. You got to either take something away, whatever it is that means the most to them, and eliminate that to make it cost something to them, the discipline. And it broke my heart. To see her like that. But when they come back in, they come to you the next day and
yes.
thank you.
Yes.
That's what it's worth.
Mm-hmm.
And when they go, the discipline drove her more into her Bible and to find the answers of what she was going through. And then she comes back and then tells you, thank you.
Right.
That's what it's,
yes.
You know, that's what it's about.
And you know, saying no sometimes is the most loving thing you can do. Even when we're dealing with these all-age drag shows and the people that are standing to still have those, trying to cut it off is loving. Trying to tell them biblical parameters is loving, because if they don't find it, they're going to go to hell. And so I love them enough to tell them about this, but I also love children enough to stand for them.
Yeah.
But also just, you know, I'm not all about one story. There's so many directions with all this that I really believe for this cause and this podcast, I want to offer hope to women who, or even men that have a husband or wife that's caught up into pornography, who's caught up into immorality. Jesus brings healing, and he can with a couple that is determined to do that, that don't just cut it off. Try to bring healing, because there is no perfect marriage. There's no perfect anything. But if both hearts are willing, God can bring healing. But it's a long road. But it would be worth it. Now, my situation didn't turn out that way. And that's another thing, is a lot of the people that stand against us, they're trying to make it seem like I raised my children with a sexual predator, and I didn't. We've been apart all these years. We did just get divorced within the past 2 years because I was a single mom with very limited income, and that's just the way that all worked out. But so there's a lot of things that Satan will try to throw at you to try to keep you from reconciling that. But there's hope in Jesus.
Yeah. Well, that's our biggest thing here. You know, we want to stand for our kids.
Mm-hmm.
We want to stand in our city for our kids.
Yes.
And you know, we want to know, let people know out there today, you know, that not to cover it up.
Yes.
Because that's why generation curses is passed down.
Yes.
You know, it's covered up.
Mm-hmm.
I've had a family member myself that when they started trying to cover it up, it got a whole lot worse. And, you know, it was in another type of sin. But here it is. It's the same way with, I think, people dealing with depression. You know, you deal with depression, and there's something that triggered that. You go back, there's something in your life that's triggered that. And if you go to a doctor, and I thank the Lord for the doctors and the physicians, but you go to the doctor and they give you medicine, all you're doing is covering it up. I'll never forget, my wife dealt with some depression, and she went to the doctor and they wanted to put her on some depression medicine or whatever. And we pushed away from that. And, I explained to the doctor and, you know, that it was a cover up. You know, I felt like it was a cover up, and he sort of, he agreed with me. He said, you know, it's something that it's just going, you know, we have to deal with the issue. We have to fix the problem. And that's the same way if we got individuals that's having problems with pornography or whatever it may be.
Yes.
You know, you can't cover it up. You got to deal with it.
Yes.
And the only way to deal with something is bring it to the light.
Yes.
And it's not just saying you got to, you know, I mean, that's one good thing about this podcast. You know, and our website, everything is anonymous.
Yes.
So if you need help, if you're out there listening today and you need help with something, all you have to do is send us a message, and we'll lead you and guide you through it. And we'll never know who you are. And that's
right.
One thing about, because here's the problem. This is one reason we started this podcast and started our website, is because these teenagers out here, they have nowhere to run to.
Yes.
If they run to their guidance counselor at school, they have to report it. If they come public with it and you know about it, you have to report it. But here, if I don't have a name, all I have is a number. And it's not a phone number. It's just there's a little number pop up. And it'll tell you what town it's from.
Mm-hmm.
And so I can be able to get this person help and be able to deal with them, pray with them, give them scripture, help them in any way I can. Matter of fact, I can counsel them through a messenger without even having to know who it is. And now they can find help. And that was the purpose of this, because there's so many kids holding things in. And we look at that, you know, suicide is the number one killer number two killer in our teenagers. And so they're holding all this stuff in and they're carrying it. And I think that's, you know, whether it's drugs, whether it's drugs, alcohol, whether it's suicide, whether it's depression, you know, people that is why we stand in for our kids, because yes. they don't need nothing else more put on them.
No.
I mean, they're dealing with so much, and you know, we can keep taking it. We can say social media, and we can say all this. They under a whole lot more pressure than when we went to school.
Absolutely.
A whole lot more pressure. I mean, when we went to school, I could go to school with my gun hanging in my backpack and my truck, and they wasn't no big deal about it.
Right.
I mean, it didn't matter. I mean, you know, but now, nah.
Yes.
It's different. It's a different day, and we trying to minister.
Yes.
I think the church today is trying to minister to a 2,000 or 20. Let's just say we trying to minister to the 20th century or in the 1900th century, and it don't work.
Yeah,
it's a different approach. We same word. Word don't change.
Right,
but we have to. It's a different approach.
Right. And we need so many more churches like that are reaching out to the hurting. It's not just enough to put on a suit and a dress and show up to church No. with your Bible. They need people to be real. And myself, I'm a perfect example. I've been trying to hide what I've been going through for years, and I can do it. I can put on a great facade. Nobody would ever know what I'm carrying. But therefore, it's not helping anyone else. And I'm not going to lie, with the what we're fighting today in Monroe, and we have our devotions, we spend our time with the Lord, He's strengthening us every day, but we're literally limping to church on Sunday and just need the fellowship of believers. We need to be buoyed up by the pastor, you know, so we can go out there and fight again. Yeah. And that's what it's like for a lot of people, whatever their battle is that they're fighting, and we need churches that see that.
Yeah. Well, I think that's we got to take a stand. We do got to take a stand, and you know, it's time that the church. I don't see how you can call it. I mean, you know, the Bible. We must realize this is a house of prayer. Mm-hmm. That's what the Bible says. The church is a house of prayer, and you know, it's not church just on Sunday morning. Mm-hmm. It's church 7 days a week.
Yes.
And we need to be the church. We need to take a stand, and we need to stand up and be there for the hurting. You know, I got a pastor, a friend of mine that pastors down in Indian Land, and you know, their church, I reckon, logo or church saying is a hospital of hope.
Mm-hmm.
And that is exactly what a church is. Mm-hmm. It's a hospital for people who come in, whether they're hurting. You know, I believe people, you know, I tell people all the time here that come to church and they come and, you know, they might be here 2 months. And, you know, I'm not in a proselyter. I'm not worried about gaining a church member. I'm not about that. I'm here. We all one big church, and I'm here to do everything I can to, God might have just sent somebody here to heal.
Mm.
They might be here for the heal, and they might be here the same way. You know, I don't care a bit if next Sunday morning, if, you know, what shows up at my church,
mm-hmm.
you know, or our church. We don't care. I mean, because God called us to go out in the highways and hedges.
Right.
He tells us to compel all to come into His house, and that's mm-hmm. what we're going to do.
Yes.
And, you know, anybody's welcome. Anybody's welcome. Because, you know, I just hear many people don't – people grasp what we do, and they take it as hate.
Mm.
And it's not hate. It's
right.
love.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, so I'm just saying it's time that the church stands up.
Yes.
It's time that the church stands up, and it's time the church that, you know, we share the love of Christ in the godly way that He wants us to.
Yes.
We take a stand, and we stand up for our next kids. Because if we don't stand up now, where's the church going?
Right.
Where's the church going?
Yes.
And we've got to take somebody. We've got to have somebody to stand up. You know, we can't rely on everybody. If we're relying on somebody else to do it. Somebody else to do it. Somebody else to do it. Well, can I tell you, they ain't nobody. You're going to have to stand up. It's
right.
time that we stand up. Because
yes.
there ain't nobody. I mean, you know, the remnant. There's a remnant, and we got
yes.
to stand up. And, hey, People can doubt us and say it never worked, but that's okay. Let them doubt it. They need to go read the book of Nehemiah.
Right.
And they doubted him. And you know what he did? He put the walls back around Jericho in a record time, did he not?
Yes.
I think it's 53 days.
Yes.
And so when everybody did their little part.
Yes.
And, you know, that's if we would do our part, and, you know, that's what I want to do my part here. I you know, being here as a pastor in the city of Monroe for 18 years now, you know, I look back, I could have done so much more. But you know what? I'm not focused. I can't change nothing about yesterday.
Right.
But I want to know when I stand before God that I finish well.
Yes.
And, you know, it's all about, it don't matter how good you start, it's how you finish.
Right.
And, you know, I want to know that I finish well.
Yes.
And I want to hear them good words. Well done, my good and faithful servant.
Amen.
And I want to know that, and, you know, if anybody listening out there today, you know, the same boat to you, you know, you can stand up. You know, all you have to do is make a decision. I'm going to start today.
Right.
And we need more people on board. We need more churches on board.
That's right.
You know, to take a stand. And it's not that, I'm not going to spread hate in the city of Monroe. That's right. Not what I'm doing.
Absolutely.
I'm going to share the love of Christ. And, you know, I'm going to stand up for what's right and what's wrong. I'm going to stand up for what the Word says.
Yes.
You know, this town is being painted in a gray. And there's no gray. It's either right. Black or white. And we had to stand up.
It is the giant of our day. And I often think about David and Goliath. And people know the children's part of the story, you know, that he was able to bring the giant down. But rarely ever does the child's story tell that after that he cut the head off Goliath. Well, that doesn't seem like a very loving thing to do. But you know what? It was the most loving thing to do to protect Israel. And that's what we want to do. And I'm not suggesting we go cut off heads before that gets misquoted.
Yeah.
But I am saying that this is the giant before us that we need to take out now.
Yeah. And I say you take that story and you can keep going.
Oh, yes.
Going and going and going to Goliath's brothers later on down the road. And the victories was won. And, you know, even David going back into the church house, you know, David took all his victories and he would take all his trophies with it, even with the sword that he cut Goliath's head off with. You know, there was a time that he come back to the church house and got it to defend himself. He used his past trophies for victories later on.
Yeah.
And so and keep in mind, we are out here today. There's nothing hate about this, and you know that's the other side. They want to say that we hate them. We do not hate nobody. We mm-hmm. love the sinner. We hate the sin. You know that's what the Bible tells us. And people, you want to misquote and say that, well, Jesus, where did he spend his time? I know he spent his time with the sinner. He did. I know mm-hmm. that. And why? Because he loved the sinner.
Yes.
He did not love the
sinner.
Praise
the Lord.
And so you know that's. Every time that somebody come in contact with Jesus, what did he tell them? He would either heal them, he would touch them, and what did he say? He said, go and sin no more.
Right.
And so, you know, it's not about that we hate any sinner. We hate nobody. And we just hate the sin.
Right.
And we're just trying to stand up for our kids.
Absolutely. And when they say love like Jesus, well, Jesus said it'd be better than a millstone be hung around someone's yeah. neck and plunged in the depths of the sea than to hurt a little one.
Yeah.
And so, yes, we are to love like Jesus, but that doesn't mean we're just giving you an open door to yeah. our kids to no. sexualize and groom in any way you want.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah. We got to take a stand.
Yes.
And so, Michelle, it's good to have you today.
Thanks
and
so
good
much.
To have you in with us. And I hope that this podcast is, first of all, maybe encourage you. And if you're dealing with something and you need help, please reach out to us. And also, not just encourage somebody, I encourage you to take a stand in our city. And it's not just in the city of Monroe, in our county, our state, but we take a stand. And just it's time to stand up. That's all I can say. It's time
yes.
to stand up. You got any final words you want to say before?
Let's stand. Yes. And iron sharpeneth iron. You know, you don't need to be afraid. My girls and I are little things out there standing, and we feel the boldness of God when the time comes. So don't be looking for some great bit of courage to come your way. He'll give it when you yeah. need it.
And the thing about it is, you know, people, you know, well, if I stand, preacher, if I stand, they're going to talk about me.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? They talking about you anyway.
That's right.
Just take a stand. Just don't worry about, you know what? I look at my kids. I look at my grandkids, and I ain't got no grandkids now, but in the future, I look at my grandkids.
Yes.
And you know what? I'm going to fight for them.
That's
I'm
right.
I'm going to fight for them.
And you don't, so if people talk about you, what are your kids and grandkids going to be saying about you? That you are a coward or that you are willing to stand for life
yeah.
and innocence? And what about, we know We know Jesus is coming soon. What about what God's going to say?
That's exactly right. He'll say, whether you like it or not, the Bible says, and you say, well, I don't believe the Bible. Well, that's up to you.
Right.
But the Bible says that every knee shall bow and every tongue confess. We will stand before God, whether it is at the judgment seat of Christ or the great white throne judgment.
Right.
And we're going to stand. And we're going to give account for everything that we ever done.
Yes.
And, you know, I think our first stop, what do I do, preacher? Well, the first step, if you're out there today, and I will say this, your first step is, as an individual, is make sure you're a child of God.
Yes.
And you don't have to, one thing about God, you don't have to clean up. You don't have to stop nothing. You come as you are.
Right.
And you come to him. And thief on the cross, I love to use the thief on the cross. He wasn't a church member. He had never been to church.
Mm-hmm.
He was a thief. He'd never been baptized. He never, but all he said, Lord. Mm-hmm. He identified who Jesus was.
Yes.
He said, Lord, remember me. And, you know, that's, we have to have our relationship, and then God begins to clean us up.
Yes.
And so, but again, Michelle, thank you for coming in today.
Thank you for having me.
We look forward to, in the days ahead, maybe get you back and do another podcast with us and give us an update. And, you know, I'll just say this. I'm ready to take a stand for our city. And I hope other churches get on board and share this podcast. Share this podcast with your church and with your pastor. And I will say this, if you live in the city of Monroe, you give me about a month and you go to your pastor and ask him if I contacted him. And if I have not contacted him, he's probably going to be telling you a story, because I'm fixing to contact every pastor in the city of Monroe and try to get as many churches as I can to get on board and do what we can to stand in the city of Monroe and fight for our city. So I encourage you, it's time that we take a stand is it going to cost us something to take a stand? Surely it always costs. We can find that back when one come to Jesus and he wanted to follow Jesus and Jesus told him it's going to cost him a whole lot. So it's going to cost you something. It might cost you some members of your church. I'll go ahead and say it's going to cost you some members of your church. They ain't going to like it because they want everything quiet. But you know what? I'm not going to step back. I'm not going to sit back and worry about gaining one or two church members when we've got thousands and thousands of kids lost without Jesus, and that we want to see them have hope. And so it's time that we take a stand. So I encourage you to get with your pastor, and in the days ahead, we promise you we're going to. Paint the town red. How about that? With the love of Christ.
Yes.
And, you know, it's our job. It's our job. Nobody else is going to do it. We can't. And, you know, I thank the Lord for our leadership in this town, in this city. I thank the Lord for them. And, they agree with what I say or whether they disagree. I still think, you know, we're not all going on everything, but I thank the Lord for them. But I will say this, if the church will stand up, we'll take the decision out of the government.
Yes. It seems like morality has been politicized. And so even the congregants don't want to hear these things because they think it's politics, but it's not. It's moral issues that the Bible deals with.
Yeah. And so that's what this country is founded on.
Right.
It's founded on the Word of God. But again, it's good to have you. And I will remind you, Michelle, it's good to have you again. And I will remind you out there, don't forget to check out our website, hopelesstohope.com. And we would love to get you on there and check it out. And if there's anything that we can help, please send us a message And that's a message button is at the bottom right-hand corner of your screen. And so it's God, I hope you have a wonderful day in the Lord, and we're praying for you. And if you need to have prayer requests, whatever, just send them in to us. We would love to have it. And if you would love to jump on board with us, send us a message. We will do what we can to get you involved in helping paint this town red. And you say, what do you mean paint the town red? Well, I'll just say, get ready. How about that? Get ready. And so
I love it.
Hope you have a wonderful day today, and hope to, you enjoy your Friday. God bless you. We love you.
How sweet it is to trust in you, Jesus.